I'm going to invite I was going to say an old friend. Doug, you are getting older. I can see that. But you are also an old friend, son of the church. So come on up. Doug and Lynn are here for a period of time. Their son, Josiah, will be married this week. Mm-hmm. And that's very exciting. Go ahead. You can clap in celebration of that. Yeah. And that will be the last of your kids to get married. So officially, you're empty nesters. Oh, I guess you have been for a while already, right? Yeah. And so we delight in that. But it's so good to have you here with us. And we pray for you. We support you. And we're glad that you have the opportunity to be with us to share the word. But let's pray together as Doug prepares to come. Father, thank you for Doug and Lynn for the call in their lives. Now in Thailand, and for the opportunity to be a part of building the kingdom of God in Asia. And Lord, I know that this is both ripe ground, but it's hard ground as well. And Lord, we just pray that we will continue to bear down with them in prayer and intercession for the people of Thailand and for all the tremendous needs both in this country and the surrounding countries. And so, Lord, we look forward to hearing both your word and encouragement from them as to what you are doing. But also, Lord, may the Holy Spirit speak through Doug, and may we receive that word. And so we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you.
Well, good morning. It's great to be back. And Lynn and I are so thankful for the support of our home church, and for how you stand with us. Pastor Matt has mentioned to me, we're going through this time of looking at the church as the body of Christ, and we very much feel like we are an extension of the ministry of the gospel in this church to Southeast Asia, and to Thailand in particular. And so I just want to thank you for your love, your prayers, your support in so many ways. It's a great joy to have this ongoing relationship and partnership with you here. I want to, just to mention a couple things before we get into the Word, and one is one of the reasons we ended up in Thailand is to empower Filipino missionaries who work with us. And some of you will know Lynn and I were in the Philippines for 15 years. We speak Tagalog fluently. And now we have Filipino co-workers that are sharing the gospel and being used of God in powerful ways among the unreached in Thailand. Jenny and Darwin are a couple that are part of that, and they have been in Thailand for 6 years. They speak Thai fluently. They have a deep passion for the people, and we are so grateful for them. They're home right now in the Philippines, raising support to come back to Thailand for their second term. And you might know that the Philippines is a country that is actually poorer in terms of the gross national product than Thailand. So imagine Filipinos raising support to go to a country that has salaries much higher than in the Philippines. So they have their home church behind them. They have many others there. But we're also asking God to provide financial partners for Jenny and Darwin so they can come back in July and continue to serve with us. So just wanted to mention that briefly. Many of you get our email updates, and if you don't, we have a sign-up sheet in the back, and we'd like to make sure we're connected with you. We're also going to talk a little bit about a vision trip team for young adults that we have going in January. So if you want to connect with us, Lynn, why don't you stand? I don't know that you did that yet, sorry. But just so you know, this is my dear wife, and we'll be back there afterwards and look forward to sharing with you. So, Father, now take away any distractions that would hinder the work of your Spirit. May your word be powerful and fresh and new and speak deeply into the very motives and heart of each of us. May we be obedient followers that follow hard after you. Minister and come anoint this time as we gather together around your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Lynn and I have spent really almost our entire adult life in places other than Canada, different parts of the world. And we have seen buildings of every imaginable type, from thatched Nipa huts in the Philippines to grand castles in the Czech Republic to ornate temples in Thailand. But one thing that all of these buildings have in common is an entryway. No matter how simple or how grand, there has to be a way to get in. There has to be a doorway to enter. And this theme of doors and doorways is something God has impressed on us very clearly in this year of 2018. As the year began, Lynn and I were praying in Chiang Mai, where we live, and asking God, where do we go from here? We just felt we're at a place where we need to see some new things happen, and there's been some things that have frustrated us and challenged us, and we've said, Lord, how do we lead our mission on into gospel ministry and discipleship? And at the time, I was reading through the book of Revelation, which is probably my favorite book in all of the scriptures, and I came across Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, and it's like, this is it. This is a word of God to us. And some of you may or may not recall that when we were commissioned by South Abbotsford 4.5 years ago, this is the verse that Pastor Dan used as that theme of commissioning. Revelation 3, 7 and 8. These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. Now, I want you to see that it's the Lord Jesus Christ who is speaking here to his church. And so the Lord is present here right now. We are his church. We are his people. This is his word to you this morning. I'll share some things concerning it, but I don't know what God will speak to you. Allow him to have his way by his Spirit to you this morning. But Jesus is holding a key, and he says, this is the key that unlocks the door to the kingdom. He holds the key to life. He holds the key to death. He is the Lamb of God who was crucified, buried, and then rose to life everlasting, and he holds the key to life for all who will come to him. Have you ever desperately wanted to get into a building but found that the door was locked? I remember some time ago here in Abbotsford, I went out in the morning for a walk in the neighborhood, and the house was busy with activity and things were going on, so I went out for this walk. When I came back a few minutes later, the door was locked and there was nobody home. I thought, you gotta be kidding me. So I worked my way around the house looking for like an open window or some way to get into my house, but I couldn't get in. You can probably tell I wasn't super happy. Well, Thailand feels like a locked door. The first missionaries came to Thailand from Scandinavia about 180 years ago, but you would never know it today. Buddhist temples fill the land from north to south, from east to west, and proliferating all the time. Statues of Buddha and monks are everywhere. You can drive from town to town, district to district, and never see any sign of Christian witness, not one home where Thais gather in the name of Christ. But when we talk of Thailand, to be true to the heart of God, we must not talk about political boundaries, because nations are changing all the time. But we must talk about ethnic peoples, the ethnic linguistic peoples who live there. Because while some tribes are widely open to the gospel message, other ethnic groups have held the door tightly shut. The Shan people are one of those groups in Thailand today. The Shan are spread across the north of Thailand, but the majority of them are in their heartland of Myanmar to the north. 6 million people with hardly any Christians at all anywhere. Going back to our passage, it says, Jesus says, "Look, I have placed before you an open door." So the question is, how do you find an open door? How do you find it in your world? How do I find it in my world? Well, we get some clues as we search through the scriptures. And once when Jesus sent out the 70 disciples, he said to them, "When you enter a town and find a home that welcomes you, then stay there. Eat with them, heal their sick, and proclaim to them the kingdom of God is near to you." So Jesus taught us that when we find someone who welcomes us into their life or into their home or into their web of relationships, then we have found an open door. We often refer to these as a person of peace who becomes a bridge into a network of relationships. Sometimes the person of peace never comes to Christ, but they've opened the door among others who eventually do. Well, there's a Shan village in North Thailand, and like many others around it, it seemed shut to the gospel. But an old woman lived there whose name, and still lives there, whose name is Oi A. Oi A is actually from the Lahu tribe. She had come to Christ years earlier, and in the course of time, she married a Shan man, and eventually they moved to his village. After a number of years, he died. And this woman, who loved the Lord Jesus Christ, found herself in a Shan village where nobody knew Christ, and she was the only believer in a Buddhist village. A little while after that, one day, she was praying and asking God that how could she ever share her faith with the people of the village of her husband. And then our team happened to, for some reason, come into the village. Filipino couple, Jenny and Darwin, and a Thai couple, and they're walking through the village, and who do they meet but Oi A. And she found out they were Christians, and she said, "Would you come here and help me reach this village for Christ?" Oi A was the person of peace that opened the village for the gospel. Jesus says to his church, "Look, I have placed before you an open door." In other words, open your eyes, be alert. All the doors around you might seem shut and locked, but watch carefully because somewhere, somehow, I am going to open a door for you to walk through. This is the way he works for those that are watching and looking and waiting. Well, the other text that I want us to focus on this morning is a beautiful kind of segue into this when it's in Colossians 4, verses 2 and 3. And the Apostle Paul is encouraging the church of Christ in Colossae with these words. He says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains." How do you find an open door? The first and most important step, even before looking for that person of peace, is to pray. Devoted prayer, persistent prayer, prayer with your eyes wide open as you move through your life and your relationships. Watching, waiting, alert, ready. Well, in the heart of Chiang Mai, the city where we live, is one of the most famous of all temples in the north, called Chedi Luang. And like any Buddhist temple, this one is the home to a community of monks who live and study there. So one morning, I felt God prompting me. I didn't really feel like going, but I felt God prompting me to go to the temple and to look for an opportunity to dialogue with some of the monks. So I was sitting there and I almost gave up when two young monks in their saffron robes came and sat right near to me with their 7-Eleven Slurpees. Now you might say, what? Well, if you know anything about Thailand, you know that there are thousands of 7-Elevens. And it's hot season right now in Thailand, meaning the highs are around 35 to 40 degrees Celsius. So what monk in a saffron robe would not want to get a Slurpee at the 7-Eleven? So these guys had gone down the road to get a Slurpee, and they came back and were sitting at their temple. So I came and sat with them, and I asked them about their backgrounds. Their names were John and Por, and they were from poor farming communities. And like in most of Thailand, when you come from a poor family, grade 6 is sort of the top end of your education. And if you're going to go beyond that, like in this case, the parents basically brought these boys at 12 years of age to the temple and basically bequeathed them over to the abbot and the monks there for them to live and study and get an education. As we sat together a few weeks ago, these guys were now 18 years old. They'd been there for 6 years. So I asked them about what they studied, their courses. I asked them about what they chanted, as they do every day. I asked them, of course, about the Buddha. And they told me about his writings and how difficult it was to learn the Pali language in order to learn more about his stories, his life, his ways. They told me how he had pointed the way, but now it was up to us to follow and find our way forward. The Buddha could never help us. I asked them about the afterlife, about heaven and hell. And Por told me that there are various degrees of heaven and hell in Buddhist teaching. But of course, the greatest ultimate goal is nirvana, where finally you get to this place where all desire and passions are gone that would cycle you back into a bad karma, and you reach this place of nothingness as the supreme goal of Buddhism. So I asked Por, I said, well, what do you think will happen to you then when you die and move on to the next life? He told me, well, I don't feel I could ever reach nirvana. That's out of the question. And even the degrees of heaven and hell, they're just a state of mind to me. I turned to John and I asked him, what do you think will happen to you when you die? And he said, well, I really just do the best I can in this life because I have no idea what will happen to me in the afterlife. Well, then something strange happened. We'd probably been talking for about an hour, and I had asked all the questions. I had done all the listening. And then John turns to me and he says, what about you? What do you think will happen to you when you die? I said, well, I'm actually a follower of Jesus Christ, and according to his holy writings, those who believe and follow him, he promises heaven. And heaven is not a state of mind, but it's the recreation of his beautiful earth, and where he will reign as king forever. And that's what I believe will happen to me when I die. He looked at me and he said, I've heard about Jesus a couple times, and the little I know, not very much, was really beautiful. We kept talking for a few minutes and laughed and dialogued, and our time came to an end, and I walked away. We exchanged names on Facebook, and I began to pray for John and Por and the tens of thousands of monks like them all across Thailand. But God had opened a small window for us in that conversation. An open door. Our text reads, and that is the guys, by the way, that was that conversation. Our text reads, pray for us too that God would open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. So the door, make no mistake about it, that we're looking for is a door for our message. What is the message? The message is that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Buddha is not Lord. Muhammad is not Lord. And the legions of evil spirits who haunt millions of people in Southeast Asia are not Lord. The one who holds the key to the kingdom is only Jesus Christ. He is coming to reign over a kingdom that will never end. What is the message? The message is that all creation is designed to know and love and exalt Jesus as King. It is that sin and death and bad karma do not have the final say. They are, and they will be forever defeated through the sacrificial death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, our message can be shared in 1,000 different ways, in 1,000 different contexts. It is so diverse and beautiful and colorful, and the Spirit of God leads us in every conversation so we might know how to introduce Christ. When we wisely listen and understand the audience with whom we share. But it must be shared. It must be the passion of the church to look for open doors for our message. Now, why is that so important? It's because when God called us to himself, that is how he designed us. It is not the task of a few missionaries or pastors or eccentric Christians who embarrass us. It is for all creation to exalt and worship and love him as Lord. That's his design for his world. I was looking through the Psalms and just seeing this over and over again, and just chose one passage that sort of captured it for me. Listen to Psalm 98. Shout for joy to the Lord. Who? All the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Let the sea resound and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge and rule the earth. You know, one day the Pharisees said to Jesus as he came into Jerusalem and people were worshiping and exalting him, and they said to him, tell your disciples to shut up, to be quiet. And Jesus said these powerful words, if they keep quiet, then the rocks will cry out. The rocks. Those inanimate dead pieces of stone will cry out. Jesus was basically saying, you can't stop it. This is what all of creation was designed for. This is why we were made. And we are moving quickly to the day when the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth and he will be exalted as Lord. You see, there's a great danger for the church today. The danger for us is that we become tired of hearing the gospel. Now, we probably won't admit it because that would be a horrific thing to say, but it happens so easily. I came to Christ as a 7-year-old boy at my mother's bedside. Now, how many hundreds and thousands of times do you think I've heard the gospel since then? How many services and Christian meetings have I been in? What happens? We just begin to take it for granted and we drift away from the beauty and the wonder of the gospel, and it stagnates and dies within us. And that is especially true if there is no outflow. Somehow we have this idea, particularly in the Western church, that it becomes an internalized sort of personal quiet faith. And that's never been the truth of the scriptures. That's when it dies within you. And that's why this prayer is so incredibly important. I think one of the reasons we have to ask God for open doors to proclaim the gospel is for our own benefit. If there's no open door to speak it out, then it dies within us. It is in the sharing of the gospel, in its beauty, that the fire is relit within us. Never forget, in the Philippines, I met a medical doctor who we began to jog with and became good friends. And after several years, I asked him if I could share this gospel message with him and his wife. And he invited me into his home, and Lynn and I began to go through sort of the gospel from creation to Christ in seven weeks. By the second or third, they were going to politely turn me away and make excuses after the first lesson, just keep the relational thing going. And after the second and third week, they just sat there, their eyes wide open. And when it was over, they said, "Our friends got to hear this." And they began taking us, and we ended up sharing that series time and time again with all of their friends in the medical community. But what's interesting is what happened to me. Because suddenly the wonder and the beauty, the power of the gospel was reignited in me. Why? Because I was with people who wanted to hear it. God had opened a door, and what it did in me was something that has never, ever left. Our text reads, "And pray God opens a door for our message, for which I am in chains." Now, that's a phrase I'd like to take a whiteout and just sort of, you know, have disappear from the page. You know, up until then it sounds pretty good, but "for which I am in chains," what's happening here? Well, Paul's writing this in prison. He's chained as a criminal. What did he get for his passion to look for open doors? What happened to him? Well, he got mobbed by angry crowds. He got beaten, he got ridiculed, jailed, shipwrecked. Once he's stoned in Lystra and dragged out of the city for dead. Let's make no mistake about it. When God opens doors for you and I, it's not going to be without opposition. Just because a door is open that you walk through does not mean that it's going to be clear sailing. It's not without heartache, not without pain. So earlier I told you about Oye and the village. The door was open for us to go into this village. And in the years that followed, our team served and loved the people of that village. And some of the older kids in those homes began to come to Christ. They were discipled, they grew in their faith, and today we have 17 girls who are in our educational scholarship program. The scholarships allow poor families to send their girls to local schools who would otherwise have no chance for education and have a far darker future. These girls are growing in Christ, and they're looking for open doors to share the gospel, but not without chains. One of the girls is Ponpan, who came to Christ about 2 years ago when she was 14, quiet and shy. She wanted so much for her family to know Christ, and a door was opened for Bible storying in her home. She was elated. A year ago, February, I went to her home for one of those Bible storying times, and her mom rushed out, and she gave me this scarf that she had made. It takes her about 6 hours to make a scarf like this, and she makes about 40 cents for making the scarf. But she said, "Thank you for letting Ponpan find a sponsor and education." And it seemed that her and her husband and their kids were on a journey towards Christ, her Ponpon's older sisters. Well, 3 months later in May, Ponpon's dad came home on a Sunday morning, hallucinating on drugs. And we were just down the road, worshiping Jesus, Ponpon and the other girls and some of the other villagers. But just down the street, Ponpon's dad picked up a long piece of wood and he beat his wife to death. We all rushed over to the house. It was pandemonium. And there we found Ponpon's mom lying in a pool of blood on her front porch. And in an instant, Ponpon was an orphan. Her dad tied up and taken away to the police station, and her mom was gone. The neighbors came while we were there, and they said, "The spirits must be angry with this family because they've allowed the Christians to come and tell the stories of the Bible here." And that's what they get. But Ponpon, even as she lay there crying, would not be deterred from her faith in Christ. Well, recently, her dad, just about a month ago, received finally his court appearance and was sentenced to 10 years in jail in a city just to the north or to the south. Ponpon visits her dad whenever she gets the chance. She brings her older sisters with her, and she told her dad that she said, "I have forgiven you, even as God in Christ has forgiven me." And she continues to speak the praises of Christ in her school, even though she's disdained by most of the staff and many of the other students because of her love for Christ. We speak this message for which we are in chains. Two of the other girls, their names are Tip and Home 3. And just a couple weeks ago, I was talking to the team there and saying, well, now that we have these girls in a scholarship program, and they're going to school, and everything seems to be going ahead well, I said, is there any danger still for these girls, or are we sort of beyond that? And our Thai pastor said to me, "Oh, no." He said, "The word in the village just now, recently, is that there are brokers looking for girls and enticing their parents to sell them outright to a broker for the equivalent of $12,000 Canadian. Well, you can imagine when I told you what this is worth, what $12,000 Canadian in Thai baht would be to a poor Sean family. It would be like winning the lottery 10 times over. And so as our girls seek to be a witness for Christ, they continue to be surrounded by dangers even from their own families. And so we pray for Tip and Home, in particular as two of the older girls, that they would stand their ground in their devotion to Christ and to sexual purity. Well, despite all these oppositions, we carry on looking for open doors. And Lynn and I are asking God for new open doors in Shan villages in the north. In fact, God has put a conviction on our heart to move out of Chiang Mai, the city where we are, and move up right into that northern region by the border and ask God for more open doors, more villages where we can bring the gospel and our love and passion for these people. God's also convicted us that over the next few years, our goal is going to be to coach and mentor young adults who would come with us and give their lives to love and care for the Shan and the Isan peoples of Thailand. And this coming January, we're actually going to, we're forming a team of young adults that are interested. We've got, I think, 3 slots left. We're calling it Adventures Among the Shan. And 2 weeks to pray and have a vision and a heart for the Shan, doing crazy adventures in Thailand and Myanmar, but living and praying among these unreached peoples. I want to close with a question. Church, I don't know where you're at today, but the question is this: does your heart burn to proclaim Jesus in your world? Are you looking for open doors in your world? Do you treasure him so much that you can hardly wait for the next door to open? Are you watching and looking and waiting for the doors to proclaim our message, for which we are in chains? Or to be honest, has the good news somehow died within you? Have you gone silent? May God rekindle in us such a deep love for Jesus and his gospel. And may God open doors for us so that we might proclaim that Jesus Christ alone holds the key to the kingdom. And he is Lord of all. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord Jesus, thank you for this incredible gospel. It's when we sing of it, we can hardly contain ourselves. Worship this morning was so beautiful, and we have this treasure, but honestly, it's gone silent so often in our worlds, and we don't even recognize the open doors around us. So whether we're in Thailand, or in school in Abbotsford, or in the business world, or in the gym, or wherever we are, make us people devoted to prayer, always looking for that open door, that opportunity, as we listen and love people and care about them in the worlds that you've placed us. Holy Spirit, take this word now and apply it to each heart. May each person in this room know what you're asking them to do. Speak to us, and may you find in us obedient children, ready to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.